Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. It's our bonus Q&A episode of Books of the Year in the studio with top author David McCloskey. It's Q&A time. Before we get to the first question, I wanted to mention Slow Horses. Mm. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Have you read the books?
I have read half the books.
Okay. What do you make of Slow Horses? Because I've read one of the books, mm-hmm. spoken to Mick Herron, but Gary Oldman is now...
He's Jackson Lamb.
Can't go back to the books and not see anyone else.
That's right.
What's your just a couple of sentences on what you make of Slow Horses?
So love them. Love the show. I think the thing I love most about those books is that there is such drama and action and tension just in people sitting in rooms talking, which I'm very jealous of as a writer because. To do that is hard. You have to have phenomenal characterization and characters to be able to make that interesting, you know, and especially in espionage fiction where a lot of the tropes they're more action-based and, you know, you tend to think about things being maybe a little bit more plot-dominated. You know, the fact that he's got this sort of ensemble cast that he's also willing to, like, kill people off with a lot of regularity, and that he's got these wonderful creations in particular in Cartwright and Jackson Lamb. I mean, I just think they're phenomenal. Yeah, okay. I love the book.
I kind of thought that's what you'd think. Anyway, yeah. So first question. In this Q&A, I think this is the only question that you've answered before, but you've probably read a couple of books since then. What is the last book, David, that you really, really enjoyed reading?
So it's recent too. So I just finished a book by Charles Beaumont, who's not his real name. He's a former MI6 guy. It's called A Spy Alone. And that book was tremendous fun. He does a great job. So the premise is basically there is a number of kind of Russian assets. Let's just make it simple. People operating at the highest levels of the British government. And you have a former MI6 guy who is out of the service and who is kind of brought in to help try to run these guys down. And it was a great mix of fascinating characters, sort of contemporary British politics, Russian, UK geopolitics, and great tradecraft. And I had a ton of fun with that book.
So Charles Beaumont, but not his real name.
Not his real name.
Probably Gordon Carrera.
It's probably Gordon Carrera.
Definitely Gordon, isn't it? Do you, David, do you have a favorite author, perhaps someone you've actually met?
Mm. Favorite author who I've not met would be Le Carré. Uh-huh. Favorite author I have met, I mean, I'm going to say Montefiore, Simon.
Wow.
Yeah, who provided that, you know, the wonderful endorsement of the book. He randomly came to Dallas. He's come a couple times for book stuff over the past year. And I actually went, so as I think I was in high school when the book came out, he wrote Young Stalin, which I think he wrote Court of the Red Tsar first and then Young Stalin after. But I have distinct memories, actually. Every Christmas I would get some money from my dad, and I would always use it for books. And I remember going to Barnes & Noble and buying Young Stalin with, like, you know, $20 as a kid and just eating it up. And so I've gotten to know him over the past year or so. He's come to Dallas a few times, so I'd say Simon. Yeah.
And if you want to hear more from Simon Sebag Montefiore, check out our previous podcast because his tying together of his books, Jerusalem, and the world history based around families is quite astonishing. The screen rights for Damascus Station, which you came on to talk about before, have been sold to Lionsgate. Do you have a favorite film adaptation that you would like your movie to be as good as?
I'm going to give you a limited series, if that's okay, a TV show. So The Spy, it featured Sacha Baron Cohen as the Mossad spy, Elie Cohen. I believe it was on Netflix. Yeah. That series had, I think, the perfect kind of atmosphere of, you know, it there was some action in that, but it was slow burn. Mm-hmm. It was very precise in the way that it rendered Damascus in the 60s and Tel Aviv in the 60s. That was the, and it was very tense, and it was very focused. It was focused on the geopolitics of it, but mostly what it did wonderfully was it took the geopolitics and the relationships and sort of brought the stakes all together in one. And that, I think, tension is, when it's done well, is just beautiful and propulsive. And so that would be my answer for what I would, if Damascus Station were adapted, what it would be like.
And I imagine you will write the screenplay. In fact, you've probably already written it in a lunchtime.
While we've been sitting here.
That's right. I feel like the idea of writing another novel, I can get my head around. The idea of writing a screenplay feels very foreign to me. I might leave that to the professionals.
Are you a completist reader? By which I mean two things. Number one, if you're reading a book, will you always finish it? And number two, if there is an author bringing out anything, will you go, I love that author, I am always reading whatever they have to provide, I'm going to read them. So it's sort of two sections to that question.
So the first, I'll definitely stop reading books.
Uh-huh.
Life is short. There's a limited number of books I will read before I'm dead. And I feel like if I don't like a book, if I'm not, in, especially if it's fiction, you know, I'll put books down pretty rapidly. If I get stuck or I just feel like it's not clicking, I'll just put it away. So definitely put them down. I think writers who I'll read anything from, probably not, to be honest with you. I think for me right now, honestly, now that I'm writing, it's taken a little bit of the joy out of reading, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm always, even if I'm sitting down to read something and in my head it's purely for pleasure, I'm always trying to deconstruct it and figure out what makes this scene work or not work, or what's this arc feel like? How do they handle the characterization? How do they move the plot here effortlessly? How do they deal with backstory, the prose? Like, I kind of, I typically am taking notes and thinking about it and writing down turns of phrase and things like that. So it's made it harder for me to just say, look, there's a new Greg Hurwitz, Daniel Silva, new Mick Herron, like I'm just going to pick it up automatically, less the case.
So you have a reason for not, it's touching on a thing we talked about before. I don't read fiction because
your
friends don't read it because it's all made up. David doesn't do it because he thinks it's just too much like a busman's holiday.
Yes.
Now, we always surprise our guests with a question from a fan. Here is a voice note for you, David, from The Times, chief political commentator who has gone on about you in print and online at great length, as you know, Tim Shipman.
Hi, Simon. Hi, Matt. And hello, David. This is Tim Shipman from The Sunday Times. I'm a huge fan of Damascus Station, but also I've now read Moscow X, and I think it may be even better. It's a wonderful book. But what I really want to know is, there's lots of raunchy sections in this book, David. How does Mrs. McCloskey respond when she reads those?
See, I had written this down because the Financial Times complimented you about steamy sex scenes and gives you full marks because that's not often the case in this kind of book. So to Tim's question, what did Mrs. McCloskey make of it?
All right. Before I answer,
did you check
the question, I'm going to give you a prologue, which is in October when the book came out in the States. I did a bit of touring in D.C. and I actually went back into CIA for some just catch up meetings, and I sat down with one of my good friends. We were analysts together and worked on Syria together, and we've kept in touch, but you know, sporadically. And she said, we sat down at the CIA Starbucks, she was like, you know what? I enjoyed the book, but it was, I did not like some of the scenes that you included in there. I could not read them without thinking about you writing them, and it wrecked it for me.
Yes.
My wife, so to answer the question, I think she feels pretty good about it. but would prefer that it weren't discussed on podcasts like this.
Yeah.
Did she at any stage say, did you write this bit? Is this you?
I think she's gotten more comfortable with it. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a little uncomfortable with it. I guess the feeling that at some points in the narrative, as I'm sitting there writing, I'm thinking about the characters and I'm thinking about how to write the story authentically. And I feel like it needs to be included, but the part of me that knows that my dad might read this, or mm-hmm. my mom still hasn't read any of the books, I think for maybe this very reason. And that part of me feels like I should edit it and just take it out. But the part of me that is trying to make this story as effective as possible and to do right by the characters yeah. feels like it needs to stay.
I think
Mrs. McCloskey, my wife, would agree with that. Yeah.
I wrote a book a couple of years ago, which was set in Dartmoor Prison in 1815 and with American sailors, basically. And I did ring my mother to say, now, Mum, I'm sending you a copy of this book. They talk in the way sailors would talk,
yep.
particularly in prison in yeah. the early 19th century. You know, so it's, in fact, it was probably a very mild version yep. of the yep. way they would speak. But you do have that parental thing.
Oh, for sure.
I'm a bit embarrassed.
And my dad's a writer, so I sent him a draft that I feel like is ready for him to read. And Artemis Proctor, as we mentioned, you know, I mean, she's got some colorful language
yeah.
mm-hmm. and it feels like it's authentic to her character. This is how a lot of CIA case officers talk. And my dad did a control F once because I sent him the Word document. You know, how many times did she yes. you know, lose control? And he said, you know, he said, I'm stepping out of my role here as your thoughtful editor. He's like, as your father, this was mm-hmm. he said, I think you should cut the number down.
And did you?
A little bit.
Okay. All right, yeah. Good idea. Well done. Well done, David's dad. If you were to go back to university, David, what do you think you'd study?
History.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I took a number of history classes, you know, in undergrad and in graduate school. But I always, in the back of my mind, I always felt like, and I feel like this was ridiculous, but I always felt like, oh, I should be taking some more useful classes, which is, say it out loud, is ridiculous. I wish, if I could go back, I would do a full history degree.
All of it? Or is there any?
All of history. No, I would honestly, medieval history.
Uh-huh.
I'm just fascinated by it. And if I could somehow pull off a medieval spy novel, I probably would try. But I don't think I could.
Wow. Yeah. Well, if anyone could. Just finally, you're throwing a fantasy dinner party.
Mm.
You can invite three authors, alive or dead. Who would it be?
Let's see. Mark Twain, George Orwell, and Hemingway.
Interesting. Do you think they'd get on?
Almost certainly not. I think that party might end in a murder.
Who would murder who?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe a murder suicide. I'm not sure. But I think, you know, I think that would be an interesting, if you could sustain the conversation. That's true. I kind of was just thinking of interesting people in a vacuum, but you're right that as the host of this party, you might have an interest in how well everybody gets on.
Yeah, that is a consideration.
That is a consideration.
If it was really going to happen, you'd thinking, okay, we're all guys. Oh, that's not good.
That might not be good. Yeah.
Maybe.
Hemingway will show up severely intoxicated to the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. These are...
It's a kind of dinner party where you would want to be in the kitchen watching them, but not actually in the room with them, because it will be mayhem.
That's right. And you'd have to frisk everybody for weapons before they came in.
Yes, and you might want to leave early. Might all fall apart. David, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. It'll only be a matter of moments before your next book is out.
Yeah, obviously.
And so we'll talk to you then. Moscow X is published by Swift Press. It's out now. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at any time, booksoftheyear@yahoo.com, or you can contact us via our socials, or just drop a message at your local CIA station, because they'll get the message to David, and then David will let us know what's going on. Back next week with another episode. Hope you can join us then.